gospel reading can be found on page 975 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Can you hear? Have I got it? Right, good. Okay. Yes, memory verse this week on the front cover, for the next 3 weeks indeed, is human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks. We'll be addressing that this morning. One day a driver tucked a note under the windshield wiper of his car for any traffic warden or police officer to read. "I've circled this car park for 20 minutes now, and I'm late for an appointment. And if I don't park here, I will lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses." When he came back, the driver was shocked to find a parking ticket from a local police officer and this note which said, "Dear guilty friend, I've worked this area for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. So lead us not into temptation." Very familiar words, and they're in the Lord's Prayer that we will be saying together later. Temptations are always unpleasant, whenever they come and in whatever form, at any time. Sometimes it might even be in our prayer time. You think you'd be fairly immune, wouldn't you, at prayer? Sometimes the temptation may be to cut short our prayer time because something else is pressing. It may be appalling to us to think that this can happen, but we shouldn't be surprised that Satan does not like us being in constant touch with our Heavenly Father. It needs to be acknowledged for what it is, and it needs to be dealt with. Our response should be, "Get behind me, Satan," and then we should move on. The Lord Jesus, it says in the Bible, was tempted in all ways as we are, but without sin. And therefore he knows what it's like to be in the situations that we are often in. In this passage we heard read this morning from Matthew chapter 4, the account of the battle between the Son of God and the Prince of Darkness, taking place in the Judean desert when Jesus was led by the Spirit. We are given a great insight into the nature of Jesus' battle with Satan and the methods he used in dealing with the temptations that the devil brought to him. We see the devil employing the most challenging of all his tactics and wiles to tempt the Lord Jesus. Firstly, challenging Jesus to doubt his identity, his God-given role. In verse 3, he says, "If you really are the Son of God." And secondly, to doubt the God-given method he is to engage in for this purpose. Reiterated again in verse 6, "If you are the Son of God." We remember earlier in this gospel in chapter 3, when God affirms Jesus at his baptism, the heavens are opened, the Spirit descends like a dove and alights upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven, God's voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The voice of God affirms that Jesus is God's Messiah. Any Jew standing there that day, and certainly Jesus himself, would recognize the two quotes, messianic promises from the Old Testament. The first words are referenced from Psalm 2. "You are my son. Today I am your father. Ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance." Everybody in Israel knew Psalm 2. It was the great psalm of God's king. The voice from heaven was saying, "You are the one I was speaking about," in Psalm 2. And nobody that day would have missed it. Also, the second one was from Isaiah chapter 42. "Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." And it was a shorthand way of saying, that voice from heaven, "You are Messiah, and the way you will be Messiah is by the servant who suffers and bears away the sin of the world." For by the time we get to read Isaiah chapter 53, this servant in whom God delights is the one wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the one of whom it is said, "We had all strayed like sheep, each one of us going his own way, but the Lord laid on him the sin, the guilt of us all." The voice from heaven declares, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We know that Jesus knew from this moment on, if he didn't know before, with crystal clarity, that he was God's king, and that the way he would save his people was by bearing away the sins of the world. It's very important to grasp this, because the temptations are all geared into that direction. You remember Satan's words? "If you really are the Son of God," challenges Satan. Remember, the devil is very well aware of who Jesus is, isn't, of what Jesus' role was to be. After all, he's been around since the Garden of Eden, the serpent tempting Adam and Eve with these words. Did God really say that? The first temptation was the temptation to satisfy self, to turn stones into bread. Surely the devil, with all his wiles, should know that this isn't God's way. Yes, Jesus, in all human form, having been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, would feel human hunger. And it would be tempting to address this as, in his divine supernatural form, it would be very possible to satiate his hunger. It was reminiscent of the Israelites spending 40 years in the wilderness and God teaching them to rely and trust in him and in him alone to satisfy their hunger, providing them with manna. Jesus says, human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks. The second temptation was to save self, to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple in full knowledge that God's angels would lift him up. You could be king, says the devil, but this is not God's way. The devil is a subtle tempter. He is selective in his quoting of scripture, using Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. But notice, the devil stops short at verse 13, which reads, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. The devil's the serpent, a subtle tempter, selective in his quoting of scripture. Satan knows the cross will bring about his downfall. But Jesus rebukes Satan, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the third challenge from Satan is to serve him. Bow down and worship me. He's saying you've no need to bear the sin of the world. This is sheer arrogance, appalling blasphemy from Satan, saying, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, but they're not his to give. God promised this to Jesus. Remember again Psalm 2, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will give the nations for your inheritance. What's the devil offering to Jesus? Is he offering him a coalition? This is appalling blasphemy from Satan. None of this is his to give. And Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In the Gospels, further on, we see that Jesus faces temptations again and again. Firstly, at Caesarea Philippi, when he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter responds, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Good one, Peter. But then he spoils it. He spoils it by trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. Same temptation, but Jesus rebukes Satan, rebukes Peter, says, get thee behind me, Satan. And then secondly, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, you remember, facing the cross, in pain, in rejection, and praying, Father, that this cup might be taken from me. But then he goes on to say, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then thirdly, on the cross at Calvary, when Jesus had almost accomplished his task, the leaders of Israel saying, come down now from the cross, and we will put our trust in you. But this is not God's way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Through all these temptations, Jesus did not deflect from his God-given task, although the temptations were most severe. In the wilderness, Jesus was faced with these severe temptations. The first one, temptation one, was to satisfy self. Yet Jesus came to satisfy others. Temptation two was to save self. And yet Jesus came to save others. Temptation three was to serve Satan. But Jesus came to serve God. Jesus embraced suffering. He was the truly obedient Son of God. Jesus accomplished all this. He came to the cross at Calvary to take on all the sins of the world. And he did that for you and for me and for countless believers before us and for countless believers still to come, so that you and I can come boldly into God's presence as though we had never sinned. You may think to yourself, but I live a good life. I abide by the law. I regularly read and observe the Ten Commandments. I give to the church and other deserving charities. You may say, I don't intentionally harm anyone. I read my Bible, pray daily, don't contribute to the world's pain. You're very nearly a saint. Maybe like me, you have been told you are a saint when you know full well you are a sinner. Maybe like me, you have been told that. My neighbour always called me a saint as I walked to church on a Sunday. When I could stand it no longer, I responded, I am a sinner, and that church up the road at St Andrews is full of sinners. So if you don't need to go, then you must be the saint. We are still friends. Satan tempted Jesus, and as his followers, none of us will be exempt from his devilish insinuations, insinuating doubt and then insinuating sin. He whispers and he causes you and I to doubt. What makes you think your sins are forgiven? He whispers. What makes you think you are a child of God? Maybe he says, what makes you think you will go to heaven? Satan likes to create confusion in our minds, in our souls. As far as I know, there's no grading of sin. We all fall short of the grace offered to us by God. I remember being told when I was very young that sin is when I put I in the centre, when we disregard God and go our own way. Always I, always me. My sermon title this morning is Withstanding Temptation. But how can we do that? In the world today, there is a babel of voices. We can be influenced by Satan's allies. We are, each one of us, in a spiritual battle. How did Jesus withstand the temptations of the devil? There was a choice. Whose voice should Jesus listen to? Jesus withstood because he didn't listen to the devil. Remember, he said, "Be gone, Satan," an unhesitating, indignant dismissal of the devil. Jesus was attuned to the voice of his heavenly Father. Jesus' mind was rather like a well-stocked cupboard of scripture. He was immersed in God's word. The devil's tactic was, and still is, to drown the word of God. Whose voice are you listening to today? This very day, whose voice are you listening to? As I was concluding my sermon, I thought I should share something that may help us. None of us is exempt from temptation, and the devil knows each one of our personal weaknesses. What may prevent us from being faithful followers of Jesus? I learnt a long time ago that we should take seriously the fact that we need to put on the whole armour of God daily, as it's listed in Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just read it to you to remind you. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We must withstand temptation. Then we can be useful to God, and as followers of our Lord, proclaim the news of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks. John, in his book of Revelation, says this: I saw a vast multitude of people that no one could number, from every nation under heaven. Wonderful words. But without a doubt, every one of them was there because someone shared the gospel message with them. They listened to the word of God. They were there because they withstood and they followed faithfully their Lord and their Savior. Whose voice are you listening today? Whose voice am I listening to today? This very day. What a challenge for each one of us. There are two voices. Which one are we listening to today? Let us pray. Lord, let us never forget the words in Scripture. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Let us, Lord, never become complacent, but always be on our guard. Give us courage, give us strength to resist, as like Jesus, we then can exclaim, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen.
Turning to the foot of page 5, we stand for the creed. We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
Let us pray. The response this morning after the words, Lord of Lent, is renew our lives. Heavenly Father, we stand humbly before you this morning at the beginning of our Lenten journey. Enter into the heart of each and every one of us as we bring our thoughts into your presence and listen to your voice. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Gracious Lord, we pray for the family of your church. May all your people be built up in faith and demonstrate in their lives the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to play our part in the life of the church throughout the world, thanking you for the leaders at St Andrew's and in the Lichfield Diocese and the wider community. Give courage to all those who find it hard to follow you and declare their faith. Give us a fresh vision that leads to action and strengthen us to serve you in places where you need us most. We pray for our mission partners working in your name, thinking of those working especially in our open doors this morning. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. As we turn to you, we ask that you remind us of these questions. Are we faithfully proclaiming your gospel? Are we demonstrating in our life together in our church and in our community the justice and the peace of your kingdom? Are we welcoming the weak and giving prominence to the poor? Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Creator God, we pray for those in positions of authority and leadership within our country and within our church and community, that they do not misuse their powers but respect and care for all with wisdom, dedication and integrity. We pray for those living in war-torn areas of the world. Help us to seek justice and peace in all nations. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Loving Father, look with compassion on those whose minds are full of anxiety, sadness and confusion. We pray particularly for those who feel lonely and don't know where to turn. For those without homes, those who are imprisoned, despairing, or who feel humiliated. We think of all who are filled with self-hatred and guilt. We thank you for all who dedicate time to others, especially for our new cafe. We pray for the strength and continuing weekly support for that dedication for people who attend. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Loving Father, we pray for those who are ill, those who are suffering and in pain, longing to live full lives. We think of those who are sad and hurt, longing for comfort, and for those in hospital or awaiting treatment. Thank you for the dedication of medical staff and for their loving families who support them. May we always offer gentle support to those in trouble, sensitive encouragement to those in need, and strength and support to those who feel weak. We pray especially for King Charles at this time. We pray especially for our lovely friend Naomi and for Mary. May they both be surrounded by your love and feel your presence uphold them. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Merciful God, we pray for those who are saddened by the death of somebody close to them. Give them your comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and turn their darkness into light. We commend to your everlasting love and care those who died, praying that they will rest eternal in the light of Christ. We think of the families of Audrey Edwards, Diana Bevan,
and John Wheeldon. Lord of Lent, renew our lives. Merciful God, we bring ourselves, our friends, our children, and young people and families to you. Help us be honest with ourselves, looking into our own hearts and noticing when we turn away from what you would have us do. As sinners, we ask that you guide us humbly to repent and return to you in love. May our efforts to be reconciled and live forever in your abundant grace, always honouring your name, be foremost in our minds. Loving Father, your Son Jesus Christ was tried and tempted by the devil. May we never be ashamed of temptation, but saved from the weakness of giving in. May your will be done as we carry your shield of faith. Help us choose the way of faithfulness rather than popularity, service rather than fame, and sacrifice rather than power. Renew our church, renew our world, renew our hearts in your name. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand for peace. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access